Hello and welcome to Fusion, a podcast for Relay FM members where I talk to hosts from various shows about a single topic. My name is Stephen Hackett, and this month I'm joined by Micah of Clockwise and Rosemary from Automators to talk about some of the things we want out of 2021. It's a new year, if you haven't noticed. Micah, how are you?
I am doing better today than I have been in a while, and that's all I can ask for, really, is just to hopefully, you know, be making the climb upward as opposed to the slow slog downward, right?
Hey, I'll second that. I really will second it.
Yes.
Rosemary, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. Update from the last episode of Fusion. Both of my grandmothers have now had COVID vaccinations, so I'm pretty darn happy awesome. About that because, you know, that's a sign that tides are turning and things are happening, even if it feels like, you know, for us average mortals of, you know, good health and, you know, younger ages, we may be mm-hmm. a long time waiting for this. You know, the fact that some people are already getting this is good. So the world is looking up.
Yeah, my dad is 65, so he's eligible to get it here pretty soon in Tennessee. And then my wife, she's a teacher, so she should get it sometime in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, that's exciting.
But and I'll be well towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting it started is the big thing, because once you get it started, then, you know, you really know it's happening. Once you know somebody, it's happened to you. God, that's so good.
Put it in our veins, Dr. Fauci. That's what we're saying.
That's what I'm screaming it.
Yeah, just right here. Just stick it in. Okay, so we did this last year with a couple of other guests talking about themes, ripping this idea straight from Cortex. So, you know, that is what it is. We have some links. If you don't listen to Cortex, one, what are you doing? It's really good. But two, they talk about yearly themes and graded a video on it last year. The idea is that resolutions are dumb and you need something broader and more flexible because what you want out of the year should change over the course of the year. I think every human being on the planet had that happen in 2020, right? If your plan was to travel more or to, you know, get out and enjoy good food and live music, whatever it was, a bunch of stuff got impacted. But to your point, we are moving forward. So let's start with you, Rose. What are you looking to for 2021?
Well, for 2021, I'm really looking at putting the pieces back together. You know, last year was a great year for everything kind of ending up all over the floor table, you know, like when a toddler dumps out a bucket of Lego or something. That's kind of what it feels like happened with my life. And I'm sure a lot of people feel like that to an extent. And so what I'm doing is I'm going through and trying to figure out, you know, what systems do I have? What workflows do I have? What apps do I have? And, you know, where do they really fit and where are they actually going to be able to help me? Because, oh my gosh, in some cases, I'm looking at things going, why am I using this app? It's really not working for me. It's holding me back. It's not doing any of the things I want. I need to get rid of this. And in other cases, I'm there going, yeah, this is exactly what I need. This is great. This is wonderful. And I should be using this app more. You know, Drafts, for example, which I'm sure Mike is aware of because we talked about this recently a few times. And so I'm just trying to, you know, look at all of my systems, my habits, my workflows, and see, you know, what is the good stuff that I've got and identify that. And then, you know, take a step back and look at the not so great stuff and maybe how I can try fixing some of it.
I like that a lot. No year is in a vacuum, right? And these things, to Gray's point on Cortex a lot, just because it's January 1st, it doesn't actually mean anything, right? And so we're coming out of this period. And yeah, I agree with you. I feel like that's true for a lot of people. I will say the illustration of a toddler dumping over a bunch of Lego hit a little close to home for me as someone whose home is littered with children's things all the time. But it's an apt one. You know, it's something that I think for a lot of us, we're going to be dealing with those pieces for a long time, right? It may be 2 or 3 years and you find one of those pieces under the couch, so to speak, and you realize that something in you or in your life was affected that you didn't even realize at the time, right? That's very common after people go through trauma and it takes years to realize the full impact of it. And my guess is that for a lot of people, 2020, unfortunately, is going to have those long-reaching ramifications.
That's perfectly put. I mean, we are all experiencing, at the very least, a low-level trauma, and many people are experiencing much higher levels of trauma. The remarkable thing about the human brain, which, you know, remarkable, I think, is often what connoted to be a positive thing, but can also be a negative thing, is the brain's ability to process things in a way that keeps our psyche safe. And so if our psyche is that foot and the Lego are on the ground, our brain can sort of serve as a cushion between those things, but only for a period of time. And so at some point, yes, we will have to step on those Lego because they're there and we've sort of gathered them. And maybe we've stepped on, you know, the 2 brick and the 6 brick, but there's still a palm tree Lego that's hanging out. And we might get to that, you know, a year or two down the line. And when that comes, hopefully we will be not beset by Lego all around us at that point. And so it will be easier to deal with those things. But as you've pointed out, you know, it's still going to be there for sure.
I mean, as Michael Scott once said, the mind has to wrap around the foot.
He did say that, didn't he? Oh, good reference. Good reference.
The mind has to wrap around the foot.
Well, Michael, what about you?
What's interesting is, you know, we were kind of talking about what we wanted to do for this episode of Fusion, and I had not heard of this idea of sort of trying to find because I've been opposed to New Year's resolutions for a long time. Just, I don't like to commit to things that I can't commit to. So I only choose to commit to things that I absolutely can, and tend not to do so otherwise if I can help it. And so resolutions are, yeah, I don't think that they make sense, but I hadn't heard of this idea of trying to find a more generalized sort of feeling going into a new period of time, be it a season, a year, or a period in one's life. And I think that it's brilliant. I think that that's such a good idea. And when I look back, not even just in 2020, but back several years, I consistently feel like I've got like 4 fingers of one hand holding on to the railing of the caboose of a high-speed train. And it's just kind of like every day I'm just hanging on to this high-speed train. And the high-speed train is sort of my brain and also life. And it's just moving forward. And I'm just kind of always right there at the end, just catching up. And or maybe if it's not catching up, it's like letting every day happen so quickly and just trying to get through things. And so I am looking at pacing. I'm looking at pacing as the sort of all over thing, but more for the purpose of you know, I'm not going to go as far as to say carpe diem, because that, you know, is a silly overused thing at this point, but trying to appreciate things that happen in a given day, particularly when you look at how quickly days blend into one another whenever you do spend so much time at home. And, you know, you look up and Monday just happened and it's Monday again. And while I may feel and be young at this point, at some point I won't be. And it would be nice to kind of know, hey, you spent this day hanging out with your partner and your dog and this exciting thing happened, or this thing that just brought a laugh to you or joy to you happened, and to not miss out on those little things. So instead of riding with 4 fingers on the caboose, I would like to be the conductor of the train. And that's kind of what I hope to see going forward.
I like that analogy a lot. You know, I think it's definitely been true for large chunks of time in my life where things that, I mean, none of us are really in control of that much probably, but where you are just kind of hanging on for the ride. And it sounds like what you're talking about is being able to get off that ride sometimes and be in control. And I wonder if part of that is having a way to remember those days, you know, when they happen through some sort of writing or, you know, some sort of journaling where you can go back to those memories. You know, I've used Day One, which is a fantastic application. I've used it for so long. And anytime I open it, one of my favorite features is, you know, this day in past years or whatever they call it. And yeah, it's so amazing how I can forget about something really awesome that happened maybe even just 2 years ago, right? Because we have very short attention spans and there's just so much to remember. And so maybe there's something in there to explore.
I absolutely think there is, because that, I mean, and you've hit the nail on the head. When I look at, as a person who talks and is interested in technology, who talks about and is interested in technology, obviously I want to look to tech solutions for that. And so that is one of the ways that I'm kind of looking at that. To go back to sort of human psychology, sometimes people, I've heard people ask this question and maybe, you know, they're just sort of acknowledging it in the moment and aren't necessarily looking for an answer, but there is an answer. When we say, how come it's so easy to remember the bad things that someone said to me or the bad things that have happened to me, but all these good things happen and we have trouble remembering those? And again, a remarkable part of the human brain and a remarkable part of our evolution and the way that humanity has changed over time is that, of course, we were once as a species hunter-gatherers, and it was important at that point. You know, we spent the way that we live now is a smaller part of the complete existence of humanity. And when you look back and you look at how our brains needed to remember the bad things that happened that caused our anxieties to rise up, that caused our panic to rise up, that, you know, brought sadness and fear and things like that, because it was a matter of survival. And so you remembered that you don't go into that portion of your territory because there are, you know, tigers there or something else that's trying to eat you, or you don't eat this plant because it will make your stomach sick for days and days. And so a holdover is that our brains are very good at remembering those bad things that happened to us. And we don't, because of the way that we live now, we don't need to have that as much. And it would be nice if we better developed a way to hold on to the positives. And so one of those ways that we can do so, as you've pointed out, is whether you do it in writing or you do it in an app or something like that, is a way to mark those things down and then relive those moments whenever they do come up in your memory. I think for me, it's just a matter of committing to it and actually doing it. And I'm curious, Stephen, you know, you said that you've done it for a long time. And I know, Rosemary, you've recommended lots of different apps for this. I'm curious how you both, is it just natural at this point, or did you have a period where you kind of had to tell yourself to do it? Do you have seasons where, you know, you're more likely to write in it? What is it that actually has gotten you to continue to mark things down and write things down?
I mean, as silly as it seems, for me, I have a recurring task on Fridays to look through my photo library and copy anything that jumps out at me into Day One. On a day-to-day basis, I do journal in a paper notebook, and then I just take a picture of the page. And I have a separate journal in Day One for different things. So I have my main one. I've got one called Logs, which are those daily sort of journals as throughout my day. And then I've got one called Dreams, because I realize I have wild dreams and want to start writing them down. So I've got some things in there too. But that task is a good reminder for me, just so I don't go too far without missing things. And I really like having photos along with my entries. Not all of them do, but a lot of them do. And that is one of the things that I really enjoy when I look at the On This Day feature. So I can see, you know, quite literally see my kids get older. And, you know, oh, yeah, we moved into this house 5 years ago this weekend or whatever it is. And so it's just kind of become part of my weekly routine.
Yeah, for me, the trick when I wanted to start writing things down is I really did go old school. I found a nice notebook and I now have a selection of fountain pens. Thank you, Pen Addict. Yes, it's cost me a lot of money. But, you know, that for me worked just because it was something that I wanted to pick up and play with. And this was a good excuse to do it. So I started, I just had set a reminder in the Due app to nag me every evening just to write down like two or three sentences about my day. And that's the other trick I used. I set the bar for myself insanely low because I didn't want it to take me hours of time every day. If I only spend 5 minutes writing something down because that's all I feel like I need to write down, that's okay. But I do like that. Of course, the other way I tackled this was a little bit of automation. So I'm using Day One as well. And I've got a little shortcut that just checks in my calendar for things that happened today. And then it asks me if I want to make some notes about it. And then if I make notes about it, then it just stores that calendar event with the note underneath it as part of the entry that I put into Day One for the day. Because then, you know, it's both prompting me with, hey, you recorded an episode of Fusion with Stephen Heck and Micah Sargent, you know, how are you feeling? And I'm there going, oh my gosh, I love talking to Stephen and Micah. They're great people, wonderful people. And this, you know, this was a fun way to cap off my week and things like that. So, you know, it ends up being that I add things because I've got prompts to do so. And I have a very low bar. If all I want to write is three words, or I want to take a photograph of the fact that, you know, I actually did all of my washing up today, then that's totally okay. And I'm allowed to do that. My bar is that I just need to put something in my journal.
I like that. And Stephen, I really like what you pointed out there that you do, where you are doing analog and digital. Because I have to tell you, the writing part appeals to me quite a bit. And in the past, that's what's got me to continue to do stuff, to continue to journal, was having a physical journal that I use my hand to write with. And so being able to pair those two together in that way is really appealing, because I think that, you know, with the ability to move photos over, like this morning, one of my dogs basically crawled up onto my chest and fell asleep. And that, you know, I don't take a whole lot of photos, but that was a moment that was really awesome. And I ended up capturing it and sharing it. But to think about putting that with then the analog and kind of combining all of that together, that really appeals to me. So thank you for sharing that. And then Rosemary, your point about, you know, dropping that bar so that, because I think that a lot of us, and I've learned this from the Henry Habit app that you recommended, Rosemary, we set these bars and then we feel like if we don't achieve them, we just completely spiral. And you just complete, like, you could have gone for 30 days doing something and then one day you miss. And because you don't forgive yourself for that, you just completely lose it. And then you lose your habit. So yeah, those are both great suggestions.
Yes, I definitely like the fact that if you set the bar low enough, it's very difficult to fail. And that is the thing, you know, that's what the yearly theme is about. It's about setting a theme for yourself rather than a very specific goal. Because if you say, you know, by the end of the year, I will have walked on the moon, and then there's a pandemic and they cancel space travel, then you're not going to achieve that goal. And that's entirely out of your control, but you're going to feel bad about it. But if you have the yearly theme, then you know, your theme is to, you know, work on getting into space. And providing you do something to move the needle in that direction, you know, you can feel better about it, right?
Right. So I can't wait for you to report from space next year.
Sadly, that is not one of my goals, but it might be one of Steven's.
Liftoff field trip.
To the moon.
Well, there you go. And beyond. Is it really made of cheese? Find out next month.
It's not.
Darn it.
Rocks and dust. If mine is pretty similar to yours, Rosemary, and I think like a lot of people, the word I came up with was refactoring, sort of a nerdy word where you have, well, you can explain it better than I can, but you have part of a product or a feature and you need to rework it and go back over it. And I feel like really for the last several years, the main components of my life have been really set, right? Like I've got family life, I have work, I have friends, and I have fitness. And in 2020, all of those things took a hit, right? Especially fitness and sort of, and the friend thing because of the pandemic, but with fitness in particular, I had this operation in October on my foot and I'm still not really back on my feet fully. And it really just, it's going to take a long time. It's going to take a lot of physical therapy and a lot of hard work to get back to where I want to be. And so for me, it's not about introducing new things. It's not even really about getting rid of things. I've had years, like 2 years ago in 2019, one of my goals for the year was to simplify what I was producing for work. And I was able to do that. But this year it's about, okay, I have these chunks, you know, I have these large components in my life. I like them all. I think for the most part, they do what they're supposed to do, but I really need to go back over them and really spend time in them and make those improvements. You know, at the end of the year, I expect to still have those things, family, work, friends, and fitness, but I want them to all have a level of polish on them that they don't have now. And so that's really how I'm viewing things. And for me, that's broad enough where it can mean a lot of different things, right? I didn't know at the beginning of 2020 that I was going to spend, you know, now 3 months off my, you know, basically off my feet. I didn't know that was coming for me, right? So some of the things that I had planned for in 2020 weren't possible because of that, weren't possible because of the pandemic, weren't possible for other reasons. But I feel like if I've learned anything last year, it's that I need to look a little bit broader. And so for me, it's about going over those big chunks and spending time in them and doing things like focusing on my physical therapy, which I'm doing at home because there's still a pandemic. I don't know if you've noticed, still going on. And so, I talked to my surgeon about that. So, you know, I don't really want to go in and do PT in the office unless you really think I need to. If you think that's what's best, I'll do it, right? I trust my doctor. But I was like, I would like a shot to do it at home. And I've been able to do that. And I bought some equipment. And I see him every 3 weeks for now for checkups. So, you know, spending time in that, spending money in that, building it in my schedule, those sorts of things are really what I'm looking at. And I don't view them as disciplines. I don't view them as these are things I have to do. Like, I think one reason people fail at journaling is because they think they have to do it every day. And if they fall out of it for a few days or even longer, getting back into it is so hard, right? That first time you do something after not doing it for a long time is really hard because you're thinking about, I should have been doing this all along. And so I'm not viewing these things as, I've got to do this 3 times a week. I do this 5 times a week. You know, I need to see a friend of mine once a week, or I need to have one phone call a month with somebody I went to school with, you know, whatever it is. That's not helpful for me. It's about what can I do to improve these things and really being open to the opportunities that come along to make those things better, right? Because if you're spending time in something, if you're spending time in journaling, just to keep using that as an example, something may happen organically that really feeds into that. And you should be open to that. And you know, if it's a new tool or if it's a new way of thinking about things, the way I journal now is very different than the way I used to. Those things have to change and evolve. And so refactoring felt like a good word for me.
Yeah, I love that word, Stephen, because that really is what it is. It's about, you know, going through redefining the things that you've already got and just, you know, fixing everything so it flows better. So that definitely applies to what I'm doing. I'm probably going to stick with my name, but I might give it a subtitle, refactoring.
There you go.
Trademark Stephen Hackett. but yeah, no, it really is about that and, you know, setting yourself up for success. So, you know, not necessarily saying that you have to do everything every day, because that is, you know, something, you know, I started this year and I was great. And then, you know, just after my birthday, I got an ear infection and then I had to self-isolate because one of the symptoms is similar to COVID symptoms, fever and stuff. So, you know, you're there sitting around and, you know, life throws you curveballs. So figuring out how you can make tweaks to reflow things and, you know, just make everything better is definitely really important. And, you know, if you can, if you can find the things that work for you, you know, doing physical therapy from home is a great idea if you can do that. And so I'm really pleased to hear that you and your therapist have found a solution for that, because obviously, you know, the last thing you want is another curveball. So trying to avoid, you know, curveballs that don't have to come your way is also another thing to keep in mind there, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And I think being aware that those things can happen and that things can radically change quickly. I mean, we've all learned that in the last, what is it now, 10 months, 11 months, right?
Yeah.
A year ago, recording this, we didn't know what was right, really just a few weeks away. And I'm not saying that to be like a downer, but that's just the way the world works. And I think it's foolish to think that it doesn't work that way. And so having a theme that's big enough to absorb those things, and being willing to drop something if it's not working, right? Or to change. But the thing for me that really cemented this idea actually happened over the summer. My surgery was in October. Leading up to it, I guess late summer, early fall, we ended up buying some fitness equipment, right? We hadn't been to the gym since March. We canceled our membership. We weren't going to be going into a gym during a pandemic. And so, you know, my wife and I made a pretty big investment in some gym equipment and, you know, cleaned out a corner of the garage. And we have like our little fitness center.
Nice.
In the corner of the garage.
How much do you charge membership?
And do you have a frequent flyer program attached to that, please?
A special workout gear? Like, do I get a silkscreen shirt and a water bottle when I sign up? Or
No, we just tattoo it directly on
you. Oh, nice.
That's really hardcore.
Yeah. That works.
Cool.
I can do that.
Do I have to install an RFID tag under my skin to be able to access
it? Yes. Well, it's the only way to get in the garage.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
Okay.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Sounds like not my kind of gym, but I'm glad it works for you.
But, you know, something like that where that can, it's like, okay, well, if I want to do this, like, I need to make these changes. And, like, it's like, this is when I thought of the word. It's like, oh, we're going to refactor the garage.
Right.
Right. So we pulled everything out of it and got rid of a lot of stuff and rearranged it. And now there's room for this weight machine. And now I have one of my bikes on a trainer as a stationary bike, right? Like being able to move things around and readjust them. So it was a very like visual picture for what I wanted to do this year. And I don't know, I found it very helpful.
I think there is one thing that I would hope that everyone, so you've got, you know, you've got your theme. Mine is in the style that I've learned now, the year of pacing. And we've got, you know, these different things, but I hope that everybody has sort of an umbrella above that, or maybe it's just a little whisper in their ear, and that is forgiveness, the year of forgiveness, because everybody needs to forgive themselves. We have all experienced trauma, and we are going to continue to experience trauma as we're still making our way through this pandemic. And you are going to need to take breaks for yourself in different way. You're going to perhaps miss some goals. You're going to perhaps, you know, not live up to whatever expectations you've set for yourselves in some ways. And I hope that everybody's just kind to themselves and remembers that you, by golly, have an excuse. I think, I can't remember if it was with you, Rosemary, or if it was with Matthew Casanelli, that I was joking and said, if you need to have somebody else tell you that you're forgiven, like, I will write you a hall pass for 2021. That's like, you get to go through this year and be okay with, you know, missing something that you had intended to do, or if you feel like you just didn't get to quite where you expected, like, you, by just existing right now, you are awesome and you are an inspiration. And I applaud you for that. And so to do anything else on top of that is incredible. And I hope that everybody like keeps that in mind and knows and celebrates the fact that even by just existing after what's been a rough bit of time, you're doing the best job already. And so, yeah, forgiveness or kindness to oneself, one of those things, just have that whispering to you. Be kind to yourself.
Yeah. I have my hall pass right here. It was me you said it to on iOS today. And yeah, it is one of those things, you know, we made it to this year. you know, things are indeed looking up. You know, we can set some goals or themes for our year, and hopefully we will succeed at 2021.
Well, I think that even extends to the people around us, right? Or we all have loved ones or people in our lives who have reacted differently to 2020 than maybe we have, or maybe out of character for them, right? Because it has been a traumatic year. And so, you know, that's something that I've had to work through in the last year with family members and friends who maybe I didn't feel were taking it seriously enough, or whatever it is, fill in the blank, right? I think everyone needs that grace extended to them, because we've all been through something. Yes. That hasn't happened in 100 years, right? It's been a century. This is the last time we had a pandemic of this size. And I don't know about y'all, but I didn't do anything to prepare for it.
No.
Right? Didn't it come up in school? Haven't read books about it. So I think we'd all be better off to lend that not only to ourselves, to your point, which is an excellent point, but also to each other.
Yeah, grace. That's perfect. The year of grace. That's yes, 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 yes. I love that. Yeah, grace for one another and grace for oneself.
Well, I think that does it for this month. Thanks for hanging out with me. It was more touchy-feely than I thought it would be, but I feel good.
I do. I think this was a nice cleansing experience. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Micah, where can people find you online?
If you are looking for me online, you can head to chihuahua.coffee. That's chihuahua.coffee, where I've got links to all the places I exist. But I'm pretty much at Micah Sargent on any social media network.
And Rosemary?
You can find me at rosemaryorchard.com or at rosemaryorchard on Twitter at micro.blog.
Awesome. Thank you all for supporting Relay FM with your membership. Don't forget about your perks. You can learn more about them over in the sidebar at relay.fm/membership. Be sure you're subscribed to any shows you have access to. Join the Discord if you haven't. It's a really lovely place to be. And until next month, bye, y'all.